Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. It's Sunday night, and it's a good night to be in church and to look to the Word of God. I'm going to have you open to three different openings tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and then Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. I want to read them in that order. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and then Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. All right, let's read those here. First of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to read from the King James Version. I may take out the King James language. I may not, just depending on how I read it here. Chapter 6, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians. We then as workers together with him, and talking about with God, because we've all been given the ministry of reconciliation as he reads into this. Because you beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Vain is empty or without any merit. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored or helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. I think you'll pick up a theme here when you see all these verses. These three verses we're going to start with here. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Glory to God. Now, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. You know, it's interesting, as Paul wrote Ephesians, there's six chapters. First three chapters go together and talk about our positional truth of being in Christ and what we have because of that. The last three chapters talk about now what? Now that you are those things in Christ, how should you live? But within each one, in chapters 1, 2, and 3, there's a hinge. And that hinge is right here in verse 8. And in chapters 4, 5, and 6, there's a hinge. And that in chapter 5 is be filled with the Spirit. Here, look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. I want to say again, it all comes together right here. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. For your word of salvation, the gospel message, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he died for our sins. And you were in him, not imputing our trespasses unto us. And you have said, be reconciled unto me through what I've done through Jesus. For he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. We thank you, Father, that you have provided such a great salvation for us. That if we come because of your grace through the avenue of faith, we can receive all that you've done through Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, I just know by the Spirit of God that if you listen tonight, we look at this tonight, we're not going to spend a lot of time, but there's going to be some things happen tonight. Amen. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 6, let's go back there. Verse 2 says, and he quotes from Isaiah 49, verse 8, which says, for I have heard you in a time accepted, in the day of salvation, I've helped you. He says, behold, now is the accepted time. Say now. Now. Now is the day of salvation. Say now again. Now, sometimes, you know, I think there are some aspects of our redemption that are waiting. We don't have a resurrected body yet. But salvation is a finished work. And it's right now. And I think so many times, you know, as Christians, we need to do a better job of living in the now of salvation. Look, if you're putting off your being receiving the part of salvation, now we would tell anybody, now if you just hang on, you know, and just work hard enough, just hang on there, maybe you'll be born again. We've preached, in fact, we're so far beyond it, that just sounds silly to you, right? Well, the word salvation here, I love what Scofield, in fact, I wrote it down so I could actually read it. Scofield's note from Romans chapter 1 says this concerning salvation. It says, the Hebrew and Greek words for salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. Salvation is the great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes as justification, redemption, grace, propitiation, imputation, forgiveness, sanctification, and glorification. He goes on to make the statement that salvation is in three tenses, that we have been saved from the penalty of sin, and that we are safe. We're being saved from the habit. In other words, the salvation is finished, but we've got to walk out our salvation and not live under sin any longer. And that we are being saved in the sense that we're being transformed into the image of Christ. He says this, salvation is by grace through faith. It is a free gift and holy without works. The divine order is first salvation, then works. Well, here is as we read this in 2 Corinthians, he says here that now is the day of salvation. Well, when we tell somebody, you know, you've heard Pastor give an invitation for someone to receive Jesus. Now, when they came up here, are they going to receive Jesus next week or right then? Right then. Now is the day of salvation. But salvation means so much more than just becoming a Christian. And the word saved, as they're rooted together in the Greek language, means so much more than just being born again. See, it means to be delivered. No matter what it is, if you need to, now is the day. And really, it was a past action that has present day application. The day of salvation came into existence when Jesus, actually, the name Savior, he is God's salvation manifest in the flesh. God has always been a Savior. You understand that? He's always been the provider of all these things. But when Jesus rose from the dead, it's no longer Isaiah saying, looking, there's coming a time that I'm going to do this. The time has come. And I'm going to tell you, since that day, it has never stopped being that day. So you don't have to put off your deliverance another second. You don't have to put off your healing another second. You don't have to put off your prosperity another second. Now, it may take a while for your body to catch up to it or your bank account to catch up to it. Because, you know, some people, that's why, you know, Pastor Marvin was talking about, you don't wait till you have a crop to sow the seed. You have to sow the seed first. Why? Because you know you're going to get a crop. Amen. So I can't wait till I have, till I'm, whatever my definition of prosperity is, financial, I can't wait till I have that to then start giving. I'm a giver now, because why? I'm prosperous now. See, I'm redeemed now. We're redeemed now from sin, sickness and disease, poverty and lack, and of course the second death, eternal death. We're redeemed now. Now is the day of our deliverance. Now is the day of redemption. Now is the day of sanctification. Now is the day of justification, which declares us right with God. It's right now. Some other translations here of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The Jubilee Bible says this. I'll read from verse 1. We then as workers together with him exhort you also that you have not received the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in an acceptable time, and in the day of saving health have I succored thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of saving health. Notice how he translated the word salvation. as saving health. Do you remember when the woman in the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, I like Mark chapter 5's account a little bit better, there from verse 25 down to verse 34, she said, "If I can touch but his garment, I shall be made whole." Now, if you read that from a Greek translation, it actually is the word saved there. Sozo, I shall be saved, or I shall receive or partake of salvation. When she came to Jesus, and of course we know that she received her healing, he told her, "Woman, go and be what? Whole. Your faith has made you," or in other words, that one he said, "Your faith has made you whole," or in other words, "Your faith has saved you." Okay. The day of saving health. There's an apostolic Bible in that says this. This is verse 2. "For he says, in a time accepted, I heeded you, and in the day of deliverance, I helped you. Behold, now is a well-received time. Behold, now is the day of deliverance." Now, sometimes, too, we want to take that and I don't want you to just think, well, now there's deliverance all over. I want you to bring it down to right now, to this very second that we're talking here. It's now, all right? Listen to the Amplified Bible, the classic Amplified, not the newer version, but the classic one. It says, "For he says," verse 2, "in the time of favor, of an assured welcome, I have listened to and heeded your call. I have helped you on the day of deliverance, the day of salvation. Behold, now is truly the time for a gracious welcome and acceptance of you from God. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now, that's why he had said there in verse 1, don't receive the grace of God in vain. I think part of that means, look, just don't receive the grace of God to get born again. Receive all that grace has provided through salvation, through what Jesus did. Why? Because now is the accepted time. Let's say that a different way. Now, or today, is the day of grace. Today is the day of salvation. See, we don't have to wait. We're not waiting for a dispensation of grace. It's right now. We're not waiting for a Savior. We have the Savior right now. Glory to God. I like the CEV version here. He says in verse 2, he says, "In the scriptures, God says, when the time came, I listened to you. And when you needed help, I came to save you. That time has come. This is the day for you to be saved." Now, how many of you, we've sung it. We know it's in the Old Testament in the Psalm. "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad." What day is it? What day is it? It's the day of salvation. It's the day of God's favor. It's the day of God's grace right now. It's the day of healing. It's the day of deliverance. It's the day of preservation and safety. It's the day. Now, how do we partake of it? Well, by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. Where's faith come from? From hearing the word of God. That's why we preach the gospel message. Okay? Through the word of God. In the word of God is contained our salvation. There is no salvation apart from God's word. Amen. People are going to have to hear God's word somehow. You can't have salvation apart from it, because it is the gospel of, it is where the power of God to salvation is located. Now I want to read this to you from Wyss translation, and then some statements that he makes concerning this. I think they're bring us to some other another place here. In verse 1 and 2, he says this, "Moreover also, we working together with God, beg of you not to receive the grace of God without any salutary results. For he says, in an epochal strategic season," I'm going to talk about these words in a minute, "propitious in character, I hearken to you. And in a day of salvation, I ran to your cry and brought you aid. Behold, now is a propitious epochal season. Behold, now is a day of salvation." Well, I'm reading that and I think, boy, that sounds, ooh, those are big words there. Those are $10 words there. I mean, so I looked those up. Propitious Says it comes from a Middle English, through Middle English from a Latin word. Is a synonym of the words favorable, and auspicious. All three essentially mean pointing you toward a happy outcome. Glory to God. And I remembered about the definition, God's definition of hope. Confident expectation of a happy outcome with joy. See, he said, this is the time that the happy outcome. He says, the definition went on to say, favorable implies that a person involved in a situation are approving and helpful, and that the circumstances are advantageous. Like you're going to have favorable weather conditions. You know, God said, this is a favorable condition. He has created through the death, burial, and resurrection and the ascension and seating of the right hand of Jesus. He has created favorable conditions for you to be saved. No matter what it is, the conditions are favorable. You know, I used to hear, it was interesting when I first got saved and listened to people, and you know, and people come from all different, we were involved in Bible studies, we had folks from all different denominations, and in talking about, you know, being a witness, you know, and telling people about Jesus, there's always this big thing about timing, you know, there's always timing. And for most people, the time never came. In other words, they didn't ever feel like the timing was favorable. Then you watch folks like, you know, this Saturday we got Todd White going to be here. Todd, he makes the season favorable. All right? In other words, he said, you know what? Can I tell you about sharing the gospel? Jesus already said, go ye, it's favorable. Hallelujah. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. At home, at your neighbors, at your enemies, and then finally the rest of the world. Right? Now, he's created a favorable condition. Auspicious has to do with the beginning of something. They had an auspicious, in other words, there's a definite mark. There's a great event that took place. Well, we know what that was, don't we? Jesus rose from the dead. Salvation had an auspicious beginning. But the word propitious, the difference between those is it refers to a beginning, but it brings in the idea of a continual promise of the same condition. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Now, you know, here in Oklahoma, we don't exactly have a continual promise of the same conditions weather-wise. It's subject to change, right? I mean, in 24 hours, you can have every season in one day here at certain times of the year, all right? Now, I've heard other folks talk about certain places they live. You know, I know down in Bogota, Colombia, where Brother John Romick is in Ram, Colombia, there in Bogota, it sits at about 7,000 feet, 8,000, 9,000. You can go up in a mountain up there. But it's basically 70 degrees every day, year round. Okay, and so you pretty much know, you know, and it's going to be in the 70s. There in that city, it's going to be in the 70s and drop down at night in the 50s. And it's going to be pretty well about that same time, same weather pattern all year round. Okay, well, see, that's the thing I want you to understand with God. God, there's not a season of healing. It's right now. Come on now. For Christians especially, now listen to me. We're to be living by the word. There's nothing wrong with having hands laid on, but I don't necessarily need, unless I'm led of the Lord to do it, I don't necessarily need some anointed person to lay hands on me when I've already got the anointed word that tells me that my day of healing is right now. It's right now. Glory to God. You know, that's why sometimes, you know, I heard a report here again of one of our students I think it was somewhere in Africa, if I remember right. I can't remember exactly. But, you know, they heard the word of God on healing, went home and raised one of the relatives from the dead. Amen. I had a man tell me one time, I preached at a conference the last day, final day. There's a lot of different guest ministers there, and you know, pretty good. And this fellow actually was a bishop over 500 churches throughout East Africa. And I preached on what it means to be in him, what it means to be in Christ. And he came up to me after, he says, "Oh, dear brother," he said, those are the deep things of God. These are deep things. And I'm thinking every first year Rhema student could preach that message I just got done preaching. Because we talk about righteousness, you know, in Christ. It's just, and I'm thinking, now here's a man that's over five. But then he made this statement to me. He said, now us, you know, in our ministry, and he said us Africans is what he said. Because he's an African, he had the right to say that. He said, we can get people healed, delivered, oh yeah, even raised from the dead. That's not a problem. But knowing who we are in Christ and how to live a Christian life, we struggle. And I thought, dear God, what we would give for them in America, the Christians in America, we know who we are in Christ, but dear God, can we see America once? But for Christians, listen to me. For Christians, this is not about having an event. It's about living in salvation. Because every time you say now, you just updated yourself. When Moses said, God, what's your name? He said, I am that I am. And it's never past. And it's not future. It's right now. I am. What's he telling him? Moses, doesn't matter where you go, whatever you encounter, I am. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:6 says, he who comes to God, for without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is what? I am. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:1, for now faith is. See, now is this day. Now there's another word used there in Weiss translation, epochal. And he talks about an epoch of time. And the definition, I was reading this definition, and this is, you know, again, this is one of those words that we don't necessarily use in everyday language. But the definition is even, I had to look up some of the words in the definition. It said, in the fields of chronology and periodization, that just means time periods, okay? An epoch is an instant in time chosen as the origin of a particular era. The origin. It's a set apart time, this epoch is, that says this is the beginning of an era or a time or a period of time. And when God said, this is the day of salvation, he was making an epic start to a time to where whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there's a distinct time that went into action. And he says, and that's why we translated it that way, because he's bringing about this part, that this is something that God has done, chosen this time. He says epochs are chosen to be significant in time by the initiator and with an authoritarian fiat, or in other words, idea. The epoch moment or date is usually defined by a specific clear event, condition, or criterion. The epoch event or epoch criterion from which the period or era or age is usually characterized or described. We said this, I hearkened to you, and in a day of salvation I ran to your cry, brought you aid. Behold, now is the propitious, what's that? Continuing, ongoing condition of the epochal season that I began when Jesus rose from the dead, and behold, now you are living in the epoch, the time, the season of salvation. Now, right now. Well, when Brother Todd writes here, you know, God works through him, I'll get my... No, right now, healing is yours. Right now, deliverance is yours. Right now, freedom from depression and oppression, it's yours right now. Right now, it's ours. Right now, it belongs. Today is our day. Not tomorrow, not sometime in the sweet by and by. You ever thought about that? What do you need healing in heaven for? There's no sickness. Amen. Well, we'll be strong in heaven. What do you need it for? Now is when we need it.
Amen.
Now, right now, today is the day of our salvation. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our deliverance. Now that salvation, as we said, is by grace through faith. And so I want to encourage you to start going through, especially the New Testament, and finding the word salvation and the word saved. And really, I heard a minister say that to help him, because he'd been taught all of his life that to be saved just meant to be born again, that every time he read the word saved in the Bible, he would add the word healed to it. He said, saved, healed. Saved, healed. Because why? It means the same thing. To be saved means to be healed.
Amen.
In fact, I heard, Brother Osborne, T.L. Osborne, his crusades are so big, he didn't have time to lay hands on everybody. And they asked him one time, well, what do you do? He said, I just preach the gospel message that Jesus saves, Jesus heals. Jesus fill you with the Holy Ghost. Jesus set you free. Until so many people start getting saved, healed, and set free that I can't preach anymore, because they're all concerned about people throwing away their crutches or doing miracles taking place. All that's, he said, I can't preach anymore. But he didn't preach just that Jesus came to make so you could be a Christian. He preached the gospel.
Amen.
Jesus saves. He heals. Yes, you'll get born again, but there's more to it than that.
Amen.
Jesus didn't come to make you his child and then leave you here on this earth to live a beat down, sick, sin-filled, poverty-ridden life.
Amen.
Today is your day of salvation.
Amen.
And I think that's important, not so much that we're standing, but we need to stand up and let the devil know, look, devil, your time with me is over. Even though it took place at Calvary, even though I got saved years ago, I'm making a stand that today I am free. Today I am delivered from you. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that today is our day of salvation. Today is the day of our healing. Today is the day of our deliverance. This is the time, the ongoing favorable season that you have created. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. You see, everywhere we go, the healing anointing is there. Everywhere we go, delivering power is there. Everywhere we go, ha 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 ha. Glory to God. Not just for us, but for others. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. By grace are we saved through faith. Grace has provided our salvation. We access it through faith, believing what God said is true, and really believing that it's mine today. Not tomorrow, that's hope, but it's mine today. It's mine today. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray for this congregation. Thank you, Father, for anyone who would listen to this message, that they would receive revelation. You continue to talk to them. Holy Spirit, you're such a great teacher. Help us, lead us, guide us into the truth in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask our connection team to find our first-time guests, if you would, and take them to that special place to receive a gift on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and Rhema Bible Church. Let's give them a big hand clap, congregation. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you need prayer for anything tonight, we've got the ladies on my right and your left, the men on my left, your right. Come on down. Ladies, talk with the ladies, men with the men. Talk with them. They're going to share the word of God with you and pray with you according to the word of God. And we just believe that this day will be your day. Amen. This day will be your day. All right, gentlemen, Wednesday night, hour of power. And then, of course, don't forget Saturday at 6 o'clock. Tell your neighbor, Saturday, 6 o'clock, Reverend Todd White. Now, I'd get here early because I already know there's buses coming in and that. I would get here early and find you a good seat. All right, God bless you so much. Amen. You are dismissed.